to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 121 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Oh, what a weekend. Hope it was great for all of you. It was a full, jam-packed weekend over here. Opening day on Thursday, which was a blast. There's a local radio guy here in Detroit that says, there is no bad weather, just bad clothing decisions. And I made some bad clothing decisions. 40 degrees, and I walked out of the house without gloves. Thankfully, the hoodie had a hat, and the wife had some hand warmers. But I have been rushing spring. Like, the few days it's been 60, I've been out. I cleaned out the garage, cleaned out and, you know, got out leaves and all that. Like, I am ready for spring. And the day before opening day, it was absolutely beautiful here in Metro Detroit. So I was willing good weather here, and it just, I lost. Brandon 0, Mother Nature 1. But other than that, had a great time with opening day. Saturday, it was beautiful here. Did some stuff around the house. And Sunday, WrestleMania 35. It was an incredible WrestleMania as far as I was concerned. No real surprises, which was awesome because all those with the big three matches that were expected to win won. No curveballs, which normally they throw us one. And the man, Becky Lynch, won. I was so excited about that. And we saw the return of Thugonomics, which was just crazy. And then, of course, we had some racing this weekend at Bristol. That if I had to use one word to describe the racing this weekend, I'm using the word bizarre. I think that is a good descriptive one-word answer for this past weekend, which I will obviously get into that here in just a little bit. Before I get into all that, as you guys know, last couple weeks announced a partnership with Yonker Motorsports and Freddie the Pizza Man's 501c3 autism charity and all that, which is awesome. And I've been teasing that there might be something else coming up in the near future that might help get the lat traffic out there a little bit more. And I am very pleased and excited to announce that the Lapped Traffic Podcast is now a member of the Michigan Sports and Entertainment Network, which is a Michigan-based podcast network community, which is very cool. They got a lot of followers. They have a lot of exposure, which will hopefully get the show some more listeners and downloads and follows and all that good stuff. So I'm very excited. So stay tuned for more cool stuff with those guys and the Lap Traffic Podcast. Go check them out, MichiganSportsEntertainment.com. All right. Huge show lined up for today. To try to keep things fresh with the guest, first-timer Joey Stone, who is the driver for Richard Childress Racing with the NASCAR Heat Pro League series. So really excited to hear what's going on with that. Sports is obviously a big and up-and-coming phenomenon, if you will. A lot of the pro leagues have an esports league, which is really cool. And since the trucks are off for a while, I'm going to try to get as many truck guys in up as possible. And tonight, Grant Enfinger will also be on the show. I got your breakdown from the Xfinity and Cup races at Bristol. Social media shout outs. Aaron will be on to talk some Richmond weather. And we crown the Lapped Traffic Race Weather Bracket Challenge winner. Your lucky dog, lap down picks, fantasy to close it out. All right. That is a long intro there. Let's get things rolling. All right. Well, since there is no truck race to recap from this past weekend, how about I dial up Mr. Grant Enfinger to talk some trucks and his current season with Thor Sport Racing. Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast with three top fives, four top tens, and a pole in just five races already in 2019. Making noise with Thor Sport Racing, driver the number 98, Mr. Grant Enfinger. Grant, welcome back to the show, man. How's it going?
Hey, going great. Thanks for having me on, Brandon.
Absolutely. We're talking a few minutes before, man. This off week, or this off month, basically, man, it drives me nuts as a fan wanting to watch truck racing on Friday nights, man. I can't imagine what it's like from the driver's perspective.
It's terrible. You know, we were just kind of getting into a groove, and now we're off again. So we get back to Dover in a few weeks, and it'll feel like the first day of school again.
Right.
So I like us to keep on going.
Well, you know, so speaking of that, in the off period, you know, the truck schedule for 2020 is out, and I'm happy as hell to see that they kind of broke this time on the schedule next year up a little bit, a couple 2 week breaks versus a month break. What was your take when you saw the 2020 schedule for you guys?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that we're losing one of the Barnesvilles, but man, I'm so pumped that we're gaining Richmond and we got a better I think a better flow of the schedule. Yeah, we don't have a month off next year, so I'm really excited about it, man. I think it's good. I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. I'm pumped up.
I'm excited about it as well. Like you said, you know, for me, the Martinsville truck race is iconic. Like, I love seeing you guys go there twice, you know, bumping, banging off of each other. I think the truck race at Martinsville, both of them are probably like my second or third favorite truck race of the year next to Eldora, which is just, you know, its own beast and its own spectacle. So but let you know, hey, getting Richmond back, like you said, that's pretty cool. And I also like the fact that Michigan, my home track, is ending the truck regular season. I think that's pretty cool as well that Michigan's getting kind of a feature race there for you guys.
That'll definitely be a big show there. And Michigan is turned into a really exciting race for the Gander Outdoors Truck Series. We do so much draft in there that it's got a little bit of resemblance to a Daytona or Talladega, but it also has a lot of resemblance to a regular mile and a half that we go to. So to end the race there, that could be one of those shakeup races, you know?
Absolutely. I had Ben Rhodes on last year towards MIS, and he called Michigan the Talladega of the North. So
That's probably not a bad name for it, you know. It like I said, it's got some of those super speedway characteristics, but a ton of fun. It's a blast out there. But I'm telling you, you're hanging on. You're never comfortable out there.
I believe every minute of that. Let's talk about Texas, man. You had a fourth place finish there, led some laps, picked up a valuable playoff point. You were one of only four truck regulars with a playoff point. Talk about your night at Texas.
Yeah, that's because Kyle Busch has stolen them all. but we had a great Champion Power Equipment F-150 there at Texas. Like you mentioned, we're able to sit on the pole, so we obviously had speed, and for the most part, we had a decent balance on it. Got off sequence a little bit. We ended up having a penalty on pit road and able to overcome most of that, and put ourselves in a decent position at the end, but we were never in a great position at the end. So we definitely we're going in the right direction. We didn't by any means have a dominant F-150, but we definitely had a good one. We had good speed. We showed them we were there. We just still were looking for that little extra to go ahead and get us in the W column.
Absolutely. You know, when you look at kind of like the race, you said, you know, finishing fourth with a guy like Kyle Busch on the track, you know, does that make that fourth place finish feel a little bit better, or do you, or no?
No, no? No, it doesn't. I mean, we come there to win each and every week, and while we don't want to put ourselves in a bad spot, we you know, we want to be aggressive, but we're showing up to win every week. So anytime we can't do that or don't have a chance of that, we're disappointed.
Sure.
So I wouldn't say we didn't have a shot at it, but we weren't to our standards yet, I should say. So we were definitely going in the right direction. We just got to find a little bit more. But man, the guys at Thor Sport Racing, Jeff Hensley, and all the guys on the 98 team, they've worked incredibly hard. And man, we're showing that progress that we had at the end of last year. We're showing that again this year. It's still just every week, everybody gets better, so that competition level keeps rising. And I feel like we're on the right track.
That's awesome. Like we mentioned at the start here, you know, it's a couple off weeks here. What's coming up over the next month for you and your team? Will you guys be at the shop? Anything fun mixed in there? What do you guys got planned during this off period here?
Yeah, we'll make a couple of three trips to the shop there. I went up last week and checked on it. We're building a kind of a I wouldn't say all the way new, but a newer truck for us for Dover, and man, the guys have made a ton of progress on that. Really looks good. So got the body and all that stuff on it. It's in paint right now. So the guys will get it out towards the end of this week or the beginning of next week and start assembling it. But pretty much when we get going in that stretch, we pretty well have to have Dover, Kansas, and Charlotte pretty well ready to go.
Sure.
By the time we head to Dover. So just trying to play a little bit of, I wouldn't say catch up, but just trying to get ahead more than anything so we don't get ourselves in a bind down the road. So that's pretty much the plan. But Jeff Hensley, man, he runs a tight ship. So he's always got us in good shape as far as all that goes.
That's awesome. You mentioned Dover. That is the next race. You've been there twice in the truck series with a 14th and a third place. Concrete surface, is that to your liking? What is your thoughts on and Dover? It's always a fun track to watch. It big, wide, 1 mile track, races like a short track in a little bit, but also feels like a speedway a little bit.
Man, in my opinion, we need more places like Dover. It's kind of got a character of its own. It's kind of like an oversized Bristol, but it'll take your breath away. I mean, you're coming down the hill with such speed, and there's so much banking to hold you. The track has a ton of grip, but you always have a ton of grip until you don't, and then it can bite you really easy. But it gets really narrow up off of the corner onto the straightaway. So when stuff happens, it's really hard to get out of the way. But man, it's a blast to drive there. It's pretty strange phenomenon, I guess. So to speak, the concrete surface and the Goodyear tires that we run on, it's like we put down a bunch of rubber when we're racing under green flag, but then as soon as we run under caution, we pick it all back up. So if you don't clean your tires really good, it'll literally feel like you got flat tires just driving around there under caution. So it's kind of that concrete surface kind of plays a few little tricks like that on you, and keeping up with the track and stuff like that it is a little bit differently at that concrete surface. So it's definitely a fun place more than anything. Brandon, it's just something different, you know.
Sure,
it's such a different animal that it's a really blast to drive. So
that's awesome. It's fun to watch. So I can't imagine what it's like to drive. So you mentioned, you know, when you're under caution there, you kind of pick the rubber back up. Texas, when I was watching Texas for all three races, I know they put down the traction compound, but that almost seemed to have a reverse effect for the first few laps on restarts. It almost looked slick out there. Is that something you noticed, or was that just kind of how it looked on TV from that way?
You know, I heard a few other people say that. I didn't notice it with our F-150, but I did hear a couple of people say that. But I feel like they did a really good job. There was a better balance. The previous two or three years there at Texas, it's been pretty well a single groove track. If,
sure.
If you're not on the bottom in the groove, then you're out to lunch. I mean, you would... If you would just get position on somebody, they would have to lift and let you in. If they tried to stick with you, they'd have their hands full just saving their truck. So I feel like they did a really good job. Basically, they put enough grip in the second and further up grooves that we chose to run there a lot because there was more grip in the track. And when more people run there, more rubber gets laid down, and it just widens out the groove. So I feel like they did a good job. I think that's why you saw a racier truck race for us, but also probably why you saw more wrecks, people leaning on other people's doors and, sure. and that kind of stuff. So I think they did a good job, but yeah, I think they're still kind of getting it fine tuned at some of these places, but I do think they've made a big improvement.
That's awesome. I want to get your take. I think Thor Sport has got a unique stable of talent, a couple veterans in Crafton and the addition of Johnny Sauter this year. You and Ben been there a couple years now, and then you've got Young and Myatt Snyder on a part-time basis there. What's the dynamic like with everyone at the shop, you know, team meetings, you know, just knowing the diverse talent and different backgrounds and talent experience with everybody?
Yeah, the diverse is a good word, I guess, from personalities and driving styles and from the crew chiefs and everything. But Duke and Rhonda Thorson both have assembled a great level of talent there with their Thor Sport racing team. I mean, there's a lot of muscle there, but behind the crew chiefs and the engineering and really everything at Thor Sport Racing. So trying to keep that all on the same page and focus is something I think every team strives for.
Sure.
I feel like we got a pretty good balance. You know, I guess we're a little bit more lax and we don't have as many probably official meetings with the drivers anyway. I know the crew chiefs do and stuff like that, but we'll basically, if we have a question, we'll call one of them up, or we're always at each other's hollers, you know, after practice or before qualifying or whatever. And we have more of a casual debriefing rather than some of the formal meetings that some of the guys have. So I feel like it's pretty good balance.
That's awesome. Grant, man, I can't thank you enough for coming back on the show. It's always a blast talking with you guys, and I've developed a pretty good relationship with Thor Sport, and I really appreciate that. Grant, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
Yeah, it's really easy. Just at Grant Enfinger on Twitter and Facebook as well. Just Grant Enfinger. And yeah, thank you to everybody that allows us to do this, from Champion Power Equipment, Ford, Mike Kerb, Duke and Rhonda Thorson, and just everybody at Thor Sport and all of our supporters. So thank y'all.
Absolutely. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Grant Enfinger, driver the number 98 with Thor Sport. Thanks for coming on the show tonight, Grant. Grant, I know it seems like ages away, but good luck at Dover, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you. We'll see you at the track.
All right. Sounds good, man. We'll see you. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. How about that, Mr. Grant Enfinger? Grant is a very cool dude. Got to spend some time with him at his hauler back in August at MIS, which was a lot of fun. Glad to be able to have him back on the show in a quieter atmosphere and be able to talk to him and hear all the good stuff that's going on with his team and Thor Sport Racing. Cannot wait to talk to him again. I'm going to skip the recap of the truck standing since nothing has changed, and this one might go a little long, folks, but don't forget, next race with the trucks, May 3rd at Dover. All right, let's get right into this Xfinity race that we had after an off week. Xfinity Series was back on the track this weekend. Stage one going to Justin Allgaier. Stage two going to Justin Allgaier. Unfortunately for Justin Allgaier, he finished 30th. Get to that here in a minute. And race winner, Mr. Christopher Bell. Before to kick the race off, Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick were in the booth for this one. And I still wonder what those guys said to each other after Martinsville. Those guys definitely getting into each other at the Martinsville race there, and we're not happy with each other, but they did not skip a beat in the broadcast booth. Really liked having Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer there. I thought that was really good. Reddick, Briscoe, Bell, and Annette racing for the Dash for Cash $100,000. They will also be racing this weekend for it at Richmond, along with Talladega and Dover in a couple weeks. What's that mean? No Cup guys in the field. Custer and Reddick on the front row. One of the things that I noticed interesting, it was a 300-lap race at Bristol. Fuel window, 165 to 170. Technically, could have done this race in two stops, but obviously, Bristol short track, you want four Goodyear tires as much as possible, so we weren't going to just cut it with two stops there. All right, let's get into the racing here. Bell into the wall, loose on lap two. Custer jumped out to a second lead over Riddick with just 10 laps into the race, but Riddick was able to run him down to make the pass and take the lead over Custer, who ended up losing two spots to Allgaier there. I love the fact that When you get just the Xfinity guys out there at a short track race, no lead is safe. They are always constantly battling back and forth there, which was very cool. First yellow out on lap 43 when the four of Ross Chastain cut a tire. Restarted with the Dash for Cash drivers, Reddick and Allgaier on the front row. 3 seconds between the leader and fifth place, Austin Cindric, with just 25 to go in stage one. So it did space out a little bit there, which I was surprised to see. It looked like the cars were all packed together, but they were lapping cars so fast. Lap traffic, no pun intended, was mixed throughout the entire track early, it seemed. Allgaier made a last lap pass on Reddick to take the stage one win after what sounds like Reddick thought the stage was already over. Let up on the gas, and Allgaier cruised to the stage one win. And then, of course, we burned 15 laps under the stage break. Why? Why can we not fix? It's such a simple fix. I don't understand. It's so simple. Anyways, Allgaier out to the early lead over Reddick for stage two. John Hunter up to third. Briscoe and Cindric wrapped out the top five early in stage two. With six to go in stage two, the 51 of Clements goes around. Tough couple weeks for that team after a pretty solid start. But they were still able to salvage a top 13, which is awesome rebound for that team, especially to be able to do that spinning at a short track like Bristol. That said, though, the caution ended stage two with Allgaier up front picking up the stage two win. Bell took advantage of the first pit stall and started stage three on the front row with Allgaier, but a tough break for Allgaier. Got into the wall and done for the day while leading the race. You hate to see that. Doesn't happen too often, but every once in a while, someone out front have an issue there. Bell took over the lead and cruised to the win. But how about Brandon Jones up to P5, 60 to go? There were only 12 cars on the lead lap at that point. Brandon Jones was my lap traffic pick. I needed to do something drastic, and it was looking pretty good there for a minute. But Burton Custer up into the wall, brought out the yellow with 40 to go. Leaders came down for tires. Bell gave up to the lead to the 19 of Brandon Jones as he stayed out. I knew he wasn't going to be able to hold off fresh tires. Back to green with 32 to go. Jones clears after Bell and Custer get contact, but Bell able to clear Riddick. 25 to go, was on the move, back to the lead, made the pass on Jones with 18 to go. And Jones, man, probably would have been able to salvage the top five, but wore the tires out a little too long as he had a tire go down with about 15 to go. And Bell cruises not only to the win, but also the Dash for Cash win and picks up the $100,000. Let's see, rookies, John Hunter Nemechek, Chase Briscoe in the top five, and four rookies in the top 10 if you add Haley and Gregson. Harrison Burton also was the top 10. And Ryan Sieg, who picked up his first playoff point last week, finished 12th. BJ McLeod with a top 20, and Tommy Joe Martins with a 26th place finish, which if you haven't checked out Tommy Joe on the PETM podcast last week, make sure you go check that out. That is always an awesome show when Tommy's on there. And next week, a Dash for Cash at Richmond with Bell, Reddick, Custer, and Briscoe racing for 100K. Bell looking to go back-to-back, possibly. Over to the standings for the Xfinity Series. Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Colt Custer, Austin Cindric, Michael Annett, Justin Allgaier, Brandon Jones, Chase Briscoe, John Hunter Nemechek, Noah Gregson, Ryan Sieg, and Justin Haley wrap out the top 12 there. Next race, Friday night, April 12th at Richmond. All right, let's move over to the Cup race, which saw Ty Dillon pick up his first career stage win with stage one. Ryan Blaney with the stage two win. And no surprise here, Kyle Busch picking up the race win. It was a weird race all around. This is why I called it a bizarre weekend. Kevin Harvick failed pre-race three times, started at the rear, and had to do a pass-through to start the race, which obviously, as you know, that's a hard thing to make up for. at a short track. Getting to that here in a little bit. Lap two, the 10 went into the wall with a nudge from Byron. The 18 goes around on the back stretch. The 17 rammed into him. He didn't know they were slowing up, bottleneck there. And all this happened while the four was doing his path through. So all that to start the race, definitely bizarre there. Restarted lap eight, Elliott and Bowyer jumped out ahead of Jimmy Johnson in third. Lap 17, the 17, I wonder if there was some irony there. Stenhouse's hood flipped up. The leader, Chase Elliott, after leading all 38 laps, brings out the yellow as the 47 cuts a tire and goes around. The 9 checks up as LaJoy runs through him. Back to green on lap 45. Hamlin on the front row with Bowyer lined up next to him. 3 laps later, Jones makes the pass on Hamlin, but then Jones loose wheel while leading. Both races, the leaders had issues. Saw it on Saturday. And the Xfinity race with Justin Allgaier. Saw it here with Chase Elliott, Eric Jones. 8 to go in stage one. The 8 of Hemric goes around while Bowyer makes the pass on Blaney. And we had a 3-lap shootout to end stage one. Dillon and Bowyer drags race into the line. And Ty Dillon gets his first playoff point. Keselowski on the front row to start stage two with Kyle Busch. Issues with him on lap one. Logano ends up getting to the lead from his teammate Brad Keselowski. Caution out with 37 to go in stage two as Matt Tift goes around. Restart with 32 to go. Teammates Logano and Keselowski on the front row. Brad ends up falling back to fourth. 7 laps to go in stage two. Martin Truex Jr. falls back from second to 16th with a possible tire going down. Ended up coming down pit road. And Logano picks up the stage two win. I think I said Blaney earlier. I was looking at my sheet wrong. Logano brings home the stage two win. Bowyer and Kyle Busch on the restart with 117 to go. Kyle makes the pass on Bowyer. Yellow out with 86 to go as Larson and Byron got into each other. Hamlin has to give up the lead for his third speeding penalty on the year. Twitter literally loses its mind when Hamlin gets a pit road penalty, which has been often this year. Bowyer and Busch on the front row to restart with 78 to go. And tough break for Bowyer, who did not get a good restart. Gets into the wall as the tire goes down. And the 9 cuts a tire as well. Restart 61 to go. Kyle Busch out to the lead with Keselowski challenging him side by side. Keselowski was able to clear along with Logano, makes the pass on Kyle Busch. But yellow out with 22 to go as the 42 of Larson has more issues. And Harvick, after being 4 laps down, gets back onto the lead lap with the lucky dog with this one. Bummer, there weren't a few more laps to go because he had a fast car. But you know what? Fail inspection 3 times there, that'll happen. Restart 15 to go. Busch brothers on the front row. And Keselowski is called to pit road for a failure to line up correctly. Kurt gets loose into the wall trying to catch up to Kyle. Kyle pulls away with 3 to go and cruises to the win there. Both Busch brothers finish 1-2. Jimmy Johnson picks up another top 10. How about Matt DiBenedetto with a 12th place finish? Harvick ended up 13th after starting 4 laps down, basically. Truex, Keselowski, Larson, Jones, Stenhouse, all outside of the top 15. And speaking of Keselowski, tough break with that pass-through penalty. Not lined up. Missed the lead lap cars that stayed out during that caution. Definitely justified in his frustration during the race. And I'll tell you what, after the race, heat of the moment, you're obviously going to be frustrated because you don't understand what the hell happened. But props to Keselowski for acknowledging the situation after and, NASCAR made the right call there. Obviously lack of communication, I think, from NASCAR to the team to the driver and driver back circling around there. Props for the driver, Keselowski, there for acknowledging all of that. Over the standings, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Eric Almirola, Chase Elliott, Clint Bowyer, Daniel Suarez, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Larson, Ryan Newman, and Ricky Stenhouse will wrap out the top 16. Next race this Saturday night for the first night race of the year, Richmond, 7:30 p.m. Cannot wait to tune into that one. All right, before I get to social media, I've got one other interview for you guys. Like I said, it's Joey Stone, who is the esports driver for RCR. And hey, let's keep up with fresh content and everything that's going on with NASCAR and something different for the Lap Traffic podcast. And something I thought was pretty interesting. You know, I love video games, but man, it was. You know, when you hear about these esports leagues and professional gamers and all that, that intrigues the hell out of me. Reached out to Joey Stone, and he was like, hell yeah. So here is Mr. Joey Stone. Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, he is the NASCAR Heat Pro League driver for Richard Childress Racing from Canton, Georgia, making his Lap Traffic debut, Mr. Joey Stone. Joey, welcome to the show. How's it going, man?
It's going great, man. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, man. You know, so we were talking for a few minutes before, you know, anything to keep the show fresh with fresh content and unique things is what I'm all about. It's awesome. Glad to have you on. How's things going? How was your weekend?
Oh, weekend was pretty good. You know, I had spring break this week through my college, so did a lot of working out, relaxing. But also practicing for the NASCAR Heat Pro League coming up in May.
Excellent. No, that's awesome, man. All right, so let's dive right into it. So professional esports, obviously a big thing right now across all professional sports. I know the NBA and my home team, the Detroit Pistons, have an esports team that plays for them. It's really cool to see NASCAR get involved with this. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got into NASCAR, professional gamer, all that good stuff. Give us the lowdown on Joey Stone.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm just your typical NASCAR fan. You know, I love to sit down on Sunday mornings, make some hot wings and some fighters, and watch some NASCAR on Fox or NASCAR on NBC, just like any other person. But you know, I'm different. You know, I love to interact with people. I love to get into debates with racing, but I also love to race against racers online on NASCAR D3 and throughout the other games that 704 Games has made in the past few years. I've also getting into racing. Was at a very young age for me. I remember my first race ever was the March spring race at Atlanta in 2001. And if you're a NASCAR fan, you know the impact that race had on the sport with Kevin Harvick.
My favorite driver may have won that race.
Oh, well, my favorite driver at the time lost to your favorite driver at that time. So looks like we got a little bit of a rivalry going on here in this podcast already.
Yeah, I love it. Well, but, and it's funny, too. I actually went to the Atlanta race this past year for the first time with some friends over at the PETM podcast who are based out of Georgia as well. So, no, that was Atlanta was awesome, man. I love that.
Oh yeah, you know, Atlanta is a very historic track. Lots of great racing that even the TV cameras can't even capture. There's three wide racing and battles going on around every corner, and I wish we had like a 360 camera we can look at the entire time, because I think Atlanta would have three dates if it showed all the racing it possibly had. But that's how I got my start. You know, I thank my dad for that, and ever since then I was hooked on it. Was a big Jeff Gordon fan growing up, and as the years went on, you know, I always was a Gordon fan, but I always admired other drivers, and I noticed, oh, man, you know, I'm becoming like a real NASCAR fan. I'm, like, liking all these other drivers at the same time, just like my hero was growing up. And, you know, as the years went on and as the video games got better and better throughout the years, you know, being a video gamer like myself and also being a race car fan, I went from being the guy who would just go backwards on the tracks and cause the big wrecks when EA Sports made the racing games, to a guy who made his own league at the age of 15 and grabbing people from anywhere in public lobbies to join, you know, racing professionally, just race for real. And luckily I had a great group of guys that I met around like 2011 when I was 15. And we still race to this day with each other for fun 7 years later. And that's kind of where it all started, where I was racing professionally and making YouTube videos on my YouTube channel, whether it's streams or paint scheme videos or NASCAR topics and whatnot. And then I branched on to the Core Series, which is the creator online racing establishment, which is all the YouTube creators like Joseph Lombard, Darian Gillen from who is Black Lives Matter, and Eric Estep, who makes his Out of the Groove show. He's pretty well known, and the series usually takes off during the off season in NASCAR, which season one wrapped up a while back. Really good season. And then I went through the esports tryouts when NASCAR Heat announced it. And when I got the news and I was watching with all my friends that, you know, I got drafted to Richard Childress Racing in the NASCAR Heat Pro League, it was just, I couldn't even acknowledge what happened. Like, I feel like by that time of the night, I lost everything in my head. I couldn't even think about what was going on. And even when I woke up, I was like, okay, it's draft day. But I'm like, wait, no. And I look at my phone again, and I see like 100 notifications on Twitter with all these news, Austin Dillon retweeting my tweets and following me, RCR following me, just all this crazy stuff. But it's been a long road. Lots of from being the guy that went backwards on racetracks as a kid to wreck cars to the guy who wants to lead the most laps and be the cleanest guy out there. So it's been a really long road, but it's all led to this.
That's so cool, man. You know, it's funny. So you're obviously a tad younger than I am. I'm 36. And, man, I wish I would have told 18-year-old Brandon to play Madden a little bit more seriously, you know, growing up and sticking with it. Because, man, I used to love video games. But, you know, ever since PS3 came out with the, you know, with the online capability, I mean, that's when things really started to take off. And I wish I would have stuck with that a little more. Not saying I'd be anywhere near doing what you're doing, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with video games. That's all I'm going to say. Go out and exercise, but there's nothing wrong with video games.
No, nothing wrong at all. You know, I always say, find yourself someone special who acknowledges that video games is something cool and you're set for life. That's what I tell myself every single day.
That's awesome. So before we get back into some of the pro heat and all that, what were some of your other favorite games growing up? You know, like were you a sports guy? Were you a, you know, like the Battlefield and all that? What are some of your other go-to games?
You know, man, I feel like my whole history of video games is like one of those movies that you'd see, like that has like a, that's like a hat. It's a really weird story. You know, when I first started playing video games, you know, I would play as a kid, obviously, back when I was a kid, you know, Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network were like the things when we were kids, you know, and I would play all the video games that involved like Rocket Power and like SpongeBob, all those story based games. And like every other so often, I'd play like, oh, NASCAR Thunder 2003. And, you know, I just said, wreck, cars on fire. That's great and everything. But then as time went on, you know, and I started racing more competitively, I was one of those gamers that got smarter, in my opinion. Like, I started racing professionally with friends and other online competitors. Then I started getting into shooters a little bit, like, you know, Call of Duty back when it was, like, the mainstream thing, like Modern Warfare 2 and, you know, Modern Warfare 3, Black Ops and all that stuff. And, other games I got into as well, man, Madden, big sports guy as a number one thing. I play Madden every year when it comes out. I also play MLB The Show. I was actually playing that a little earlier today too, doing some challenges on online and everything. I'm a big sports guy. That's honestly the field I want to get into, whether it's NASCAR or another opportunity that may arise down the road. But went from that that silly gamer to that professional gamer involving sport games. And I like the action games too. You know, I was a huge Uncharted fan when that series was going on. I love The Last of Us. I'm waiting for The Last of Us 2 to come out. I'm really hyped up about that one. But really that, man. I'm really more into the adventure games and racing games now. I'm really invested in the Project Cars 2 right now. I think it's a really, really good game. But like I said, NASCAR Heat 3 is that main game I play. I love the company 704. I love what they're doing for the fans and, the promising future they have. They have a deal, through, I think 2029, I believe, to have the NASCAR license for NASCAR games. So, they're not going anywhere and they have a really good, vision of what they want for the future in NASCAR games. So, more of that adventure racing kind of gamer right now.
That's cool. And you know, and I know for a couple of years, you know, Xbox, PS, PlayStation, you know, there was a gap to where there were not any NASCAR games being produced, which was a bummer. What's your racing setup like? Like, you know, you got the driver's seat, steering wheel, you know, tripod screen going on, or, you know, what's the environment like when you're racing?
Yeah, absolutely. So for NASCAR Heat 3 and the NASCAR Heat Pro League, you know, I started out on a controller, with your basic office chair, you know, just a PlayStation 4 and a TV. And by the time Christmas rolled around, you know, I got my first ever gaming monitor with a gaming laptop. And I was able to kind of tweak with it a little bit, make it look nicer, and really get my whole streaming setup and my whole YouTube setup look really nice. I then bought a Logitech G29 wheel to start racing with, and I loved it. I loved the feel of it. I loved the force feedback of the wheel. It felt really good on the hands and just how comfortable it was. But unfortunately, the way my desk is, you know, I wasn't able to have the wheel sit firmly. That force feedback would shake the wheel to like the left and the right, so I felt like I was in a rally car, you know, like playing a NASCAR game. And I'm like, this doesn't really match that well. You know, I can't compete like this. So I had to return the wheel. I'm back to a controller now. But the way I see it, you know, I've gotten to this point with the controller. I've done some incredible things, and you know, I wouldn't change anything I've done so far. So just your basic PlayStation 4 controller, a Spider-Man PS4 Pro controller, actually. I have one of those, and it's a very nice controller. It's been like my good luck charm so far.
Nice.
So I've been using that, just your basic office chair, a nice HP gaming monitor, and it's nothing really too complicated. I hope to add on to it later on in like the years to come as I develop myself as a professional esports driver and a YouTube content creator. But just nothing too out of the ordinary.
Nice. So let's talk about the actual the league and format and all of that. So you mentioned the draft. You know, so you were drafted by RCR, which is awesome. Where in the draft order were you selected, and how did you qualify for the draft?
Yeah, absolutely. So the NASCAR Heat Pro League started qualifications around, I want to say, 5 months before the draft, which was on March 10th, I believe, was the draft. And that was about 5 months prior when we started. So I would say around like the October, November time is when we started qualifications. Pretty much in qualifications, what you had to do was you get online before, I believe it was 9 Eastern, to qualify with your best race time. So you have like a 10-lap race, and you go out there and try to get the best race time, total amount of laps or total amount of time on the track. But also, the 704, which I think was a fantastic thing they did, was they had data that tracked your wins, top fives, top tens, how many times you hit the wall and your fastest laps, et cetera, which only added more into these teams deciding who they wanted to draft. And, you know, as the time went on, I can't tell you how many times I've had to stay up late at night from like till midnight or even like 3 or 4 in the morning just to get the best race time possible to get a good race time. You know, they were ranked from class A, class B, and class C. You want to get to that class A as many times as possible because class A is the best. Those are the fastest guys out there. You want to be up there as much as possible. And that's how the teams really narrowed it down to their top 50. So when it got narrowed down to the top 50, 704 and the committee decided to do showcase races. Now, these showcase races were races where the top 50 were invited, 50 for Xbox and 50 for PS4. And they're divided into 2 races per console where you would just randomly start a race and you just go and try to race the best out there. And fortunately for me, I had some really good results in my 4 races. I think my worst finish was like 12th out of like 20. And that was because I got involved in like a wreck or something. But we had some good results. And that's what got us to the draft, which was on March 10th in Arizona at ISM Raceway. If you did not know this, the draft was broadcasted live over Twitch, which I heard it got a very good outcome of viewership. And a lot of tracks were very pleased and very intrigued with what they were showing at the track. And, you know, there's been some great things going around at 704 with a lot of teams and a lot of tracks that are interested in what the NASCAR Heat Pro League is all about. And, there's another part to the question, too.
Yeah, so what's the race format like? Do you set your own car? Like, are you playing with, you know, air pressure and all that kind of stuff? Or does everyone have to kind of run a basic setup to it? Are you running a full race? Are you running a full season? You know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so yeah, we do have our own setups that we make on our own time, which involve air pressures, shock settings, spring settings, brake biases, everything you can name of, even messing with the gears to get the best fuel mileage and the best RPM out of the car. Really everything that goes into a real stock car, we have the power in our own hands to make our cars go faster. And I'll just warn you right now, at first, I was not the guy who was good at custom setups and making my own stuff. But as time went on and having guidance from some of my fellow competitors through the qualification rounds, you know, I got better at making my own setups and learning how to make these cars go faster the best way possible. And so, yeah, we all use our own custom setups that we make on our own spare time. So when it comes down to the format of the races and everything, we do not know officially what that is yet. The schedule has not been officially released to the public yet. So none of us know what's going on with that. But we're really excited to see what they have in store for us. You know, 704, they love to surprise us. So I really can't wait to see what the format's going to look like and what the schedule's going to look like. Hopefully we may see a dirt race in there. Hopefully, we don't know. Yeah, we're wondering just as much as you are what the schedule is going to look like and what the format of the races is going to look like. But yeah, we're really excited about that. And you know, I got to keep working on these custom setups, man, because there's some guys out there that, man, I'm just as fast as them one day, and then we get on the next day, and then they're 2/10 faster than me. I'm like, what do these guys do to make these cars faster like that? So. So it's going back to the drawing board, but yeah, it's all in the power of our own hands.
That's awesome. Well, I will definitely keep up with you throughout the season and maybe get you back on here after you get a few races in and all that good stuff. Joey, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So on Twitter, I'm Sloppy_Joe. There's two O's in it. Unfortunately, somebody took the Sloppy with one O. I still got to find that person and make a bargain with them to get that name. But yeah, Twitter, you can find me on there. Instagram, Joey_Stone_3. And on Twitch, which is my brand new platform that I just came out with. Well, I guess Twitch and YouTube is the same thing. It's just Sloppy_Joe. So you can find me there doing some NASCAR Heat 3 streams in preparation for the NASCAR Heat Pro League, which you can find more info on enascarheat.com, where you can catch up on all the latest info you need to follow the NASCAR Heat Pro League.
Awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Joey Stone, driver for RCR in the NASCAR Heat Pro League. Man, thanks for coming on the show. Good luck this season, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Thank you for having me on, and have a great rest of the show.
Thanks, man. We'll see ya. All right. Very cool interview there with Joey. Man, I like I said, I think that's so cool to hear about these guys that are able to drive professionally from a racing perspective, from a game perspective, and do this as a potential career. I think that's awesome. And look forward to keeping up with Joey and that league throughout the year and see how that shapes up. I think that's good on NASCAR for doing this. You know, like I said, other professional sports are doing this. NASCAR obviously needs to target a younger demographic to try to, you know, get more eyes on the TV and butts in the seats, as we saw an issue this past weekend at Bristol there. And hey, what young people don't like NASCAR, or I'm sorry, what young people don't like video games. So I think that's a great way to bring fresh eyes and ears to the sport. So that's awesome. And like I said, definitely look forward to keeping up with Joey throughout the year. All right. It is time for some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Don't forget to listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, or wherever you listen to your podcast. All you got to do is search Lap Traffic Podcast, subscribe, download, leave a review. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 followers. Got that 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress to commemorate the RCR Museum. Throw in a Lap Traffic t-shirt for you as well. And some new follower shout-outs over on Twitter. Joanne Schultz at JoanneS5788-6980, a NASCAR fan and a nurse. Superior Essex Racing at SPSX Racing sponsors all three series, which is awesome. I actually got to talk with them a little bit over the weekend and looking forward to doing some work with those guys during race weekend at MIS, which is going to be very exciting. Resto Rod at
SCM Benz from South Carolina, NASCAR fan of all series, including ARCA and the KNN East, which is awesome. Thanks for following, guys. Make sure you tell your friends. Don't forget to check out the store on the website. $15 t-shirts, traditional, new logos are there. Also, hoodies available, men's, women's, colors, sizes, you name it, it's there. And, of course, stickers and koozies are available. If you want one, visit the website, thelattrafficpodcast.com. Go to the contact page, send a request. Make sure to include your name and full address, and I will send one to you for free. And, again, don't forget that April is Autism Awareness Month, partnered up with Freddie, the Pizza Man's 501c3 charity, and Yunker Motorsports. Check out the support autism link on the website. And if you're able to donate, make sure you put Lap Traffic in the message. Much appreciated. We'll be doing some more fundraising drives throughout the year with those guys. And, of course, go check out Michigan Sports and Entertainment at Mish Sports ENT on Twitter and Michigan Sports Entertainment. .com. Can't wait to work with those guys as well. All right. Business is done. Let's keep the show rolling. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on for his weekly weather. One Lap Traffic Nation back again for his weekly weather report. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web raceweather.net. Mr. Aaron Studwell, sir, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am doing pretty good, as always. All right. So before we get to the bracket challenge, final standings, and weather at Richmond, it was funny, before we hit the record button, we both kind of admitted that we really didn't watch the game last night. For me, as everybody well knows now, I'm a diehard WWE fan, and the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania takes precedence over any other possible TV show that could have been on, so that's where I was dialed into last night.
And I had it on. I had the national championship game on, but I wasn't paying 100% attention to it. Now, it was a good game, went to overtime, Virginia won, and that's about all I could tell you.
Well, and that's funny, because I didn't even know it went to overtime. All I did was saw the ticker that Virginia won, and I'm like, okay, all right. on to next year, where it's funny, the local Detroit sports radio station put out or retweeted an article or whatever it was about the early love that both Michigan and Michigan State are being favored in the way, way, way too early poll predictions for 2020. And that was almost a direct quote there that they used for that.
Yeah, and I'll agree with that. It is way, way, way too early right now to even think about that stuff.
Yes. But I think a very important question that needs to be addressed, that we don't have to come up with an answer right now on the spot. But, you know, we talk Michigan football. That's obviously over until August, early September. Michigan basketball is now done. I feel like we should keep some type of additional topic on the weather segment here. So we need to figure out something else to talk other than just weather and racing when you come on.
You could really bore the audience and talk Tigers?
No. God, no. I couldn't do that, even though they did suffer a horrible loss today, 8-4, against the Cleveland Indians, who have had their number since 2017. But I will not go into it more than that, because this show's going long as it is, so I will not bore everybody with that nonsense. But, you know, that's something we can put a pin in and figure out what else we'd like to chat about.
We will figure, you know, between the two of us, we have enough ideas. We will figure something
absolutely
out.
Absolutely. All right. Let's recap the Lapped Traffic Race Weather Bracket Challenge. Congratulations to Eric. This Wind Blows was the title of his bracket for winning the league. Congratulations there. Lapped Traffic loyalist Mick Rose, addicted to quack, came in second place. Martin, the crude bucket, came in third. Mr. Fantasy NASCAR Chad came in fourth. Robert with my bracket came in fifth. Jennifer, cruising dreamer, came in sixth. John 2 Lightning 6 came in seventh.
Danny with his bracket, Danny's definitive bracket in eighth, and Michael, my genius bracket, in ninth, and my buddy Eric Zalen with his bracket, I Own You, wrapped out our top 10 for the first ever Lap Traffic Race Weather Bracket Challenge.
And I was paying attention during the call, but I don't remember hearing two things. Mine or yours?
Yeah, no. If we had gone in reverse order, we would have been one of the first ones read off.
Yeah.
But
I'm number 20.
Yeah. But thank you to everyone that played, made it interesting, made it fun to talk about the March Madness on the show here. So definitely look forward to that again next year, sir.
Yeah, definitely. That was fun to set up, fun to run, and give us something interesting to talk about. And while it didn't keep us, I think I might have paid more attention if I knew I was doing better in the brackets.
Absolutely.
So it might have given us something a little bit more to talk about.
Yes. All right. So before we get to the weather for Richmond this weekend, honorable mention to you, sir, as you received a lucky dog vote this week for
holding back the rain.
So people recognize in race weather.
I am quite honored. I was happy to see that. I saw it on Twitter and I'm a little surprised. And yeah, that's kind of cool. I do appreciate that. I do appreciate the notice. It's a great one. It's always great to do the show, and it's great to share this information both through Twitter and the website, and definitely on Lap Traffic. It's been a good good year and change, and looking forward to a lot more, and glad the listeners enjoy that.
Absolutely. All right, so we are headed to Richmond for the Xfinity and Cup Series race this weekend. How is the weather looking?
That might be the official forecast. Warm. It'll be warm. So it could be warm rain for Friday. We are looking at cloudy skies. Increasing chance of showers in the afternoon going into the evening hours. High in the mid-70s, race time temperature in the upper 60s. And that's pretty close to normal for there. By the time we get to Saturday, continued cloudy skies. Chance of showers and thunderstorms afternoon into early evening. The models are kind of flip-flopping all over the place, and I don't want to lock anything in, so I'm just going to leave it kind of a bigger, broader chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll definitely be something I'm home and watching for and updating. I'll actually be awake for this race.
All right.
I'll explain that in a minute. high of the day in the lower 80s, race time temperature in the mid-70s. So if you're going to bring a poncho, it's going to be a warm rain. And we'll monitor the situation and keep the website updated and keep Twitter updated. But I am just coming off overnight shift. Had to work impromptu Saturday and Sunday night because of a family emergency for one of my direct reports. I'll explain off here. Yeah, it's a pretty bad situation.
It's probably not a good situation. So, yeah, it's a bummer on all sides, I assume.
Yeah, well, his mom's doing better, and that's really the most important thing. So, yeah, I slept through the race, and I'd roll over now and then. And it's like, oh, look, Brian posted something on Twitter. Good. Thank you, Brian. And so, yeah, definitely a weekend where it was teamwork, and Brian Newdorf covered the weather. But, yeah, we were pretty good. The rain held off and made it through the weekend, but I'm back on day shift and not being a vampire anymore. And I'm here, and we got the forecast.
Excellent. And speaking of Brian – I believe, I won't confirm the date just yet, but I believe there's a show coming up in the very near future with both Race Weather and Brian Newdorf at Weather _, is it MXS, I believe it is?
It's for Brian is NASCAR _ WX Man.
WX Man. I knew there was some W and an X in there. But, yeah, so that'll be exciting to have both you guys on, talk a little racing and your weather backgrounds and all that good stuff. So that'll be a good time.
No, definitely looking forward to that one too. If I could have it penciled in my phone, it is penciled in my phone.
Yes.
Although I do have a glass screen protector, so I can always just erase it.
Excellent. Yes. No, I believe we do have a tentative date scheduled. So be on the lookout for that. Everyone, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at @RaceWeather and on the web, raceweather.net. Sir, pleasure as always, and talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Yep. See ya. Always great catching up with Aaron, and you guys know what that means. It is time for
for some lucky dogs. You know the drill. After the race, you can tweet your lucky dog and lap down picks. I'll read them, tag you guys after the show, or you can call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there, and I will play them after the show. And speaking of the Wave Around hotline, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's damn near time to do a listener call-in show for the first time for 2020. So stay tuned to that. I'm going to find a couple dates that might work and get that out to you guys. And let's crank this thing up for a full listener call-in show for 2020. And like I said, stay tuned for that. All right. I'm going to get right into my picks for the race weekend. My lucky dog, I got two of them. Lucky dog, Kevin Harvick. Hey, four laps down. Made it back to the lead, a lap, finished 13th, and of course, Kyle Busch, how could you not? And my lap down is also Kevin Harvick, because you had to basically start the race four laps down. All right, let's get to your picks over to Twitter. On Twitter, Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mix, a lucky dog. Kyle Busch didn't have the fastest car, but was able to get the win. Mick lapped down the 42 team. They found a way to shoot themselves in the foot again. Mike at Mike Tuck 12's lucky dog goes to Kyle Busch. They basically handed him that win by pitting. Lap down NASCAR. Why can't they get these restarts right? I'm with you there. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, lucky dog Kyle Busch for the old spin and win. Lap down Penske cars for putting on the final caution. April at SWT Harvick fan four's lucky dog. Harvick, dude got back on the lead lap all on his own after being four laps down at one point. Love that team and driver. Lap down would have to be no one really talking about Kevin Harvick driving his ass off to get back on the lead lap. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons. Lucky dog goes to Blaney with the most laps led. He's showing his teammates what's up. When he wins, who will be the Penske top dog? The force is strong with young Ryan Blaney. Yes, it is, sir. Lap down goes to that Jones boy. He and his team better get things going. Bell is lurking. I see what you're doing there. I see you. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog, Kevin Harvick, way to fight back. Lap down Almirola just never had a chance to race today. Matt at MVecchio81's lucky dog has to be the four Harvick. Also glad I stuck with him on DraftKings. Lap down has to be the crew of the number 10 for leaving the jack stand underneath the car, costing them a chance at racing. Yeah, it's a rookie mistake, you know. And Matt, the crazy thing is, each week we're seeing multiple issues on pit road with the Cup team, Cup teams. You know, the we're not seeing it during the Xfinity or truck race as much. Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie's lucky dog Kurt Busch, solid run from 27th to finish in second. Things would have been far more interesting for sure if Kurt got closer to his bro for the win. Lap down, Justin Allgaier, mechanical issues have killed this team so far. Yes, they have. Dean at Dean Ader's lucky dog, race weather for holding back the rain. Lap down, Hamlin, you'll lose many more races with pit road speeding penalties than winning them. Would Bell speed as much on pit road as the 11? Man. I see what you and Rowdy are doing there, boys. I see what you're doing. All right, those are your tweeted responses. It is time to get to a couple calls on the Wave Around hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. Wow, what a great weekend at Bristol. I was lucky enough to be there. It was my first time there, so I checked another one off the list. And a big thank you to Mike and Julie Bosley for hosting me. We saw a great weekend of racing. We had Xfinity and the K&N East race on Saturday, and then, of course, the Cup race on Sunday. Again, they were both great races, but unfortunately, it seems like the talk about the race was all about the people commenting about the empty seats, and I wish people would just stop focusing on it. Everybody's aware that there's a problem with that, and I don't think beating a dead horse with it is going to make it any better. We need to be talking about the great racing that we've been seeing so far. Of course, my talk today was going to be about Harvick. I wasn't sure whether I was going to make him a lucky dog or a lap down. I'm giving him the lucky dog because I don't know how it looked on TV, but it was awesome to see him slicing and dicing his way up front through the field. And he even earned one of his laps back the old-fashioned way by just passing everybody, which everybody knows is not easy at Bristol. So that's why he's getting my lucky dog. On the other hand, I do have to give him my lap down to the 14 for getting in the hole from the get-go. I'm not sure whatever happened at going through inspection, but that was just awful. And to top it off, we've still got a little bit of a penalty to serve this weekend at Richmond. I think we're going to be held 30 minutes out of practice, so it's not over yet. But he did come back to a respectable 13th place finish. After all of that, that's why it's respectable, and we got to go forward. That's all I got for now. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thanks for calling in. Man, that's awesome. First time at Bristol, and, hey, the Bosleys are awesome, that's for sure. And, hey, I'm with you. I did the same thing. Harvick, lucky dog, and a lap down pick. Let's get to our second call on the Wave Around hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Max. I called that a couple weeks ago, but back at it. It was a great race. I thought Bristol was great. I am the arch enemy of my NASCAR fandom is Kyle Busch, but it was a good race. It was dominated by the Penske guys. Clinton Boyer had a good car. It was all the Fords, but to see the Busch brothers race it out there at the end, that was pretty cool. I thought it was an action-packed race. A lot of stuff going on. Tires. A lot of loose tires. A lot of loose tires. That made things interesting. A lot of penalties, too, on the crew side and a couple on the driver side as far as speeding penalties, but... very interesting race. The Xfinity race was a good race, too. Christopher Bell show. Usually when those Cup guys don't show up, it's Christopher Bell, Custer, and Allgaier, and that's the guys who are running up front. So that was a good race, too. I thought the Cup race was much better than the Xfinity race for this weekend. It's tough to see the stands. I know we talk about it week in and week out, but a place that sits 165,000 people is tough when... a source I have is ticket sales are around 40,000 for the race, so it looks bad on TV. But anyway, another shout out to Darrell Waltrip, end of his career. So, but anyway, I'm gonna give the lucky dog. I gotta give it to Ryan Newman. Strong all day, and what he's done with Roush Racing has been really good. So, my lucky dog will be Ryan Newman. My lap down is gonna be Kyle Larson. I mean, everyone was picking him as a guy to look at, and he got into trouble early, and just nothing went his way this day. So Newman, Larson, lucky dog, and lap down. All right, Brandon. My Twitter is at TheGrimmeister. That's TheGrimmeister. All right, thank you.
Hey, Max, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. Matt, very different lucky dog there, giving it to Newman. Newman definitely takes a beating on social media, much like Denny Hamlin there. But, man, he did have a solid car. Might have annoyed a few people out there on the track. But, hey, that's Ryan Newman for you there. So, very cool. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Thanks for your Twitter handle as well. And look forward to you calling back in again. All right, and you guys know who we close it out with each and every week, Mr. Andrew Kantzian.
What's up, Brandon? Quick disclaimer, unfortunately, I was not able to watch the race, so I'm just making some observations from what I've seen. As is the weekly observation this week, Kyle Busch is just freaking good. I mean, he goes from wreck to lap, whatever, like 1, 3, 4, I don't know, very early. Comes back, seemed to be kind of a non-factor behind all the Penske cars, and came back and win the race. I mean, you can't say enough about the guy. He's really grown on me, you know, the past few months. He's just good. You respect him. I don't like his, you know, whiny attitude sometimes, but in a way I do like it, because I think we need, you know, we say we need personality, and we all bitch and moan when he cries after the race. But you love to hate it, or you love to love it. But it's good that we have it. So that was pretty fun. The attendance is something I usually don't complain about, but it looked awful. And you can't say that we need more short tracks. when no one shows up to the ones we have. So let's take care of what we got now before we start losing dates from, you know, tracks we don't need to lose dates from. And, you know, we'll go from there and see what kind of schedule changes get made, you know, in the not-too-distant future. But let's stop bitching and moaning that we need more short tracks and show up. So that was fun. And then my other lap down is my softball team is still suspended. So, thanks. Great. Love the school I go to. Take care, bud.
Mr. Andrew Cantian, thank you for calling in. And you know what? You made a great point there. As did Max, you know, in talking about attendance. But, you know, you said the key word there. We all complain about we need more short tracks. And I think that's the best way to sum it up. Well, show up to the ones that we've got, especially such as one like Bristol, as iconic as that is. That's a great, great call there, I think, there, sir. All right, everyone, thank you for your tweets and calls for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment. Make sure you keep those coming each and every week. All right, you know how we close this thing out. It's time for a little fantasy. Just a reminder to get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up. It's awesome. We've got 6 races to go in segment 1. Winning picks this week. Man, you guys were spot on. 15 players picked Bell and 19 picked Kyle Busch. So nice job there. Week high, 104 points by Evan Van Beelen and Rob Nebinger with their picks of Busch and Reddick. Second weekly high was 103 points by Ted Anderson, Robert Keplinger, Michael Elliott, my uncle, Mr. Matt Crowd, John Entwistle, Jess Rose, Greg Whited, and Brian Wright with their picks of Busch and Bell. My picks, like I said, I was trying to go a little outside the box to make up some ground here to at least be somewhat respectable, and I almost pulled it off with Brandon Jones there, but not so much. It didn't cut by a Clint Bowyer, pulled out a whopping 68 points. Over to the top 10 in standings. Mr. Rob Keplinger is back in first place after being absent for a week with 824. Jess Rose right behind in second with 821. Brad Carnes in third with 817. John Entwistle in fourth with 815. Matt Crowd in fifth with 812. The MOATF podcast is in sixth with 808. Ted Anderson in seventh with 795. Greg Whited in eighth with 784. Mike Elliott in ninth with 774 and a two-way tie for 10th with 766 between David James and Rob Nembinger. 8 weeks in, and after falling out of first for 1 week, like I said, Rod Keplinger is back up top the standings with a 4-point lead over Jess Rose. Unfortunately, Rob is unable to call in this week, but he has made a few calls into the show. So back again for his second week in a row. I am dubbing him the Lapped Traffic Fantasy Deputy Knight, Mr. Mick Rose. Mick, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
It's everything is going fabulous, except for my fantasy picks.
Well, you and me both, my man. You and me both. What'd you think of the racing this past weekend, sir?
To me, it was the best race of the year so far. I enjoyed it.
I agree. I think we had the right amount of cautions, and I think they were weird cautions throughout both series. You know, you had the leaders had issues. Kyle Busch wrecks on lap one, comes back, wins the race. You had good racing that, unfortunately, some other things distracted from that, I think, with the attendance and all that kind of stuff. But if you looked at what happened on the track, I don't see how you could be disappointed.
I've never said, boy, this would be a better race if just more people were sitting next to me.
Look at that. I love that. That's fantastic. That's right. Let's see. Who were your picks this week, sir?
Well, I had Tyler Reddick, who did me a solid, and Kyle Larson, who continued to struggle.
Yes. Yes. I feel you. Bowyer did pretty good for me, and Brendan Jones, my long shot. Well, that's why they call it a long shot, right?
But it looked good for a while.
It did. I was watching him just creep up the leaderboard. I'm like, oh, wow, look at this. Not so much, but that's all right.
What do you say, sir? You ready to make some picks for this weekend?
I am ready.
All right. We are headed to Richmond for the first night race of the season. It's been the Kyle show at Richmond as of late. That's Kyle Busch swept both Richmond races last year, and Kyle Larson won the fall race in 2017. So the Kyle show. Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick picked up a pair of top fives at both Richmond races last year. Both struggling a bit as of late. Both looking for their first wins of 2019 as well as their first team wins in 2019. Jimmy Johnson had a pair of top 10s last year. Can he back up his top 10 this past weekend at Bristol? Larson, Keselowski, Boyer also picked up a pair of top 10s last year. Some familiar names that have done pretty well at Richmond will all be looking to take the checkered flag for the first time in 2019. Who will pick up the win this weekend under the lights? We will find out Saturday night. But first, it's time for our picks. Sir, Mr. Mick Rose, who is your Xfinity pick?
Well, I'm going to ride that Tyler Reddick train until it derails.
Hey,
he's been solid thus far.
I like it. I like it. I am going to go with Mr. Christopher Bell. Swept both races last year. I might as well not do any worse and at least go with who everybody else is picking as of late. That's how I'm looking at that. Over to the Cup race, sir. Who is your Cup pick at Richmond?
I'm going with Joey Logano.
Joey Logano. I like that pick there, sir. I am going to go with someone who I don't normally take, but why the hell not? I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney. And see if the young Ryan Blaney can do some damage for me there.
That sounds like a safe pick. I knew it was going to be either a Gibbs or a Penske. I'm going to.
Right. I think we're pretty safe with the team picks there, sir, for sure. All right. Those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Mick, thanks very much for calling in, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. You too. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 121 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. This one was fun. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out the Freddy the Pizza Man's Autism Charity link on the website. Put Lap Traffic in the message. Go check out MichiganSportsAndEntertainment.com, the new network site that I am happy and excited to be a part of. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 followers. Big thanks to Grant Enfinger, Joey Stone, Aaron Studwell, and Mick Rose for calling in tonight. Next week, Tyler Ankrum from the Truck Series. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!